Definitely, everybody who actually is listening in and wants to chat with Jason, they definitely do need to dial 347-989-8385, or they can actually log on to www.welcometotheindustry.info. They can listen there. They can actually add comments. Any way they want to join the conversation, they're welcome to do that. So everyone needs to actually stay tuned to Industry Buzz.
What's up, Indie Loves? I'm Shian, and I'm here with this week's Indie Buzz Report. Let's start this thing off with a neo-soul duo based in Denmark by the name of Quadroom. Vocalist Coco and producer Robin Hannibal call their sound Electronic Soul. I want you to check out their new single, Better Off, featuring Kendrick Lamar. The track itself is subtle yet effective, and it's accompanied by smooth, breathy vocals from Coco. Then Kendrick Lamar slides in like a lyrical soothsayer and doesn't disappoint. I'm a huge fan of their first self-titled LP, so I'm pretty hopeful for their new album, Avalanche. Now I want to move on to a song from my girl, Alex Isley. Yep, that's right, she's an Isley, so I don't even need to go in on her talent. But don't expect a wailing, soulful electric guitar or a phone call from Uncle Mr. Big. Nope, this young Isley has absolutely nothing to prove. She's just here to do her thing, and man, does she do it well. The recent graduate of UCLA has hopes to become a full-time jazz singer. Check out her new single, The Other Side. I can't stress how much I love this song. Alex's voice glides all over this track like a lullaby. Check out her new album, Dreams in Analog. Now on to film. I'm sure you all have heard of Fruitvale Station, but if you haven't, it's a film based on the true story of Oscar Grant, a young man who was fatally shot by the California Bay Area police. It stars Michael B. Jordan, who you may remember from Red Tails, and Forrest Whitaker backs the film as a producer. It won Grand Jury Prize and the Audience Award at Sundance 2013. It started with a limited opening, but the film's box office success is helping it make its way to more cities. Be sure to check out your local listings and show your support. Well, that's all we have today. I'm Shian with your Indie Buzz Report. Stay tuned for more hot news on the industry.
Thank you. Cake Cafe Atlanta, where desserts are created and you taste love. Looking to fill your sweet tooth? Do you have a special event or occasion you're planning? Give Cake Cafe Atlanta a call. Located at 368 Candler Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30317. Open Monday to Saturday, 10 to 7 p.m. You can get the best in pies, cakes, cobblers, coffee, brownies, specialty popcorn, and more. Visit their website at www.cakecafeatlanta.com or give them a call at 404-284-0106. That's 404-284-0106. Call Cake Cafe Atlanta today.
A small, inexpensive plumbing problem can quickly become a large, costly issue if not addressed now. Allow Jayco Plumbing to provide you with expert service.
On time, every time.
Give Jayco Plumbing a call at 404-702-8896 for your free estimate. Call 404-702-8896 today.
Welcome back to the industry with your host, Akia Uwanda and Nicole Lester. Like Nicole said before we went to break, we are very excited to have a musician, promoter, producer, filmmaker, indie talent innovator, and jazz funk cafe originator, Jason Orr, with us today. We start off by playing an independent talent, Miss Gretchen Parlato, jazz music, and Mr. Orr has been very instrumental in providing a platform for creative indie talent and actually known talent, but they can just have a free-flowing experience and show on his platform, Jazz Funk Cafe, the Funk Jazz Cafe. And so Nicole has a little bit about what that is.
Yeah, so Funk Jazz Cafe, number one, is not a concert. It is a multifaceted art and music festival featuring music and interactive creative components. And I think it varies. I mean, I actually never attended one before, and I always wanted to or longed to, but I just remember people talking about, you know, the incense flowing, you know, massages happening in a certain room, poetry happening in a certain space, just all these various sweet kind of, you know, like those music festivals when you see them going on or whatever else. So it's a really, really good thing, and I really want him to talk about it since he's, you know, given new life to this thing and it's taken some more wings. And he does this because of the love, and, he's basically starting a cultural evolution. He's preservating, you know, he's preserving soul music, you know, music from the heart. He wants people to project unfiltered music, like once you go through this filter, you know, at the radio companies and all that stuff, it comes out a little differently. He wants that fresh, that raw sense of expression through art, and that's through all art, definitely. So we really do want him to be able to get on and just kind of talk more about it and kind of so people can feel his passion about it because he started it, you know?
That's right. And a lot of people don't know, like I said before, a lot of artists started on his platform, and we want to take a moment to hear one of the artists who is no stranger to the music industry and who was taking it by storm, and it's no other than Miss Janelle Monae. Yes, Miss Janelle Monae. So take a listen to Miss Janelle Monae, her first actual single called Letting It Go, and we'll be right back with you on the industry.
Small business owners, micro entrepreneurs, and solo entrepreneurs, preparing your business for the new year can be a daunting task. Developing the optimal business plan, product suite, and branding strategy can be overwhelming. Monique Stoner offers strategic business coaching services that can help you position your business for success and make 2013 an incredibly prosperous year. If you're ready to move your small business or solo pursuit from potential to profitability in 2013, go to www.moniquestoner.com.
Do you want to take your business to the next level? Ultimate Business Solutions provides the support you need to increase your customer base and sell more products and services online. Specializing in graphic arts, web development, and internet marketing, Ultimate Business Solutions creates the face of your business. If you're looking for a custom logo, dynamic website, or popping marketing material, call Ultimate Business Solutions today at 404-704-2197 or visit www.ultimatebizsolutions.com. Ultimate Business Solutions. Let us create your future.
Viratech is a publicly traded company that has created the first biotech social network. Founded by Dr. Kevin Buckman, the company has built a unique platform that will allow biotech research to become open sourced for the first time in history. A breakthrough company in the biotech industry, Viratech is publicly held, meaning anyone can become a shareholder of the company. The trading symbol is Vira, spelled V-I-R-A. More information about Viratech is available via Yahoo Finance. Just type in the ticker symbol V-I-R-A.
Ooh, I got a call today from my job up the block. It was my fault to say, you know we like you a lot, but we don't need you, Jay. You daydream too much. Well, man, I'm glad y'all let me go. 'Cause with no 9 to 5, it's a brand new day. My rent's due, but I'm a party anyway. I feel so alive, stress is fading away. It's time to live my own life, so I'ma let it go. Leave my worries behind, gotta take control. Have a game, let's have a good night. I'ma let it go. No time for stress on my
great if you're here with us and you actually want to call in and talk to us about your experience at the Punk Jazz Cafe or the fact that you saw the recent showing or viewing of The Dire of a Decade, give us a call at 347-989-8385. Ms. Akia?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. We are. I'm just excited to know and learn about myself more about this film. Now, Nicole, you say you actually screened the film and hadn't made it with the Jacksonville yet.
I didn't hear your question, Nikia. I think you're breaking up.
Can you hear me better now?
I can, uh-huh.
I'm sorry. I was saying that I hadn't had the privilege to actually view The Diary of a Decade yet. However, I know you have, being that they had a big screening in D.C. and then they had another one in Atlanta a couple of weeks ago. So from your experience, what did you really see, and how were you touched by the independent music industry, by this film?
I will tell you, it was really eye-opening, and it was really, really motivating, and it really, at the same time, it was like tugging on my heart, because I'm just like, this is what we're trying to do, especially like with this radio show, actually have a platform for independent talent, because it's a lot of people, it's way more people, you know, that's unknown than there are that's known, that's in the, you know, in the industry altogether, you know, in the film, in music, or whatever, and people just don't know them. I mean, they may know them locally in their little section of town or in their little community or their little city or their state, but not necessarily, you know, nationally or globally or whatever else. And this is, you know, was one of those stages, and I actually was not really able to ever participate in one of them, so it made me kind of sad, like, oh, my God, because I remember everybody talking about it. It was just like, you know, a staple, just like, you know, you had to go to Freaknik, you had to go to Black Beach Weekend in Daytona, you had to go to the Punk Jazz Cafe. And it just so happens that, you know, I had, like, responsibility, a whole lot of responsibility at the time, and I really just didn't make the sacrifice. And then here I am, an adult person with this business, with this radio show, and I go, you know, to support the film, and to just kind of find out exactly, you know, where he's going with it, you know, with the Funk Jazz Cafe. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is just so crazy that I didn't get that firsthand experience. And I was trying to figure out why there wasn't a riot for the people, you know, from the people that actually had it. Like, I wouldn't have wanted something like this to go away, you know, because it went on so many years. I mean, it was established back in 1994, and
right.
It had gone on so many years, and I think he was doing it, like, maybe quarterly or whatever else, and I'd have been, like, fighting to keep this thing going, like, wait a minute, Jason, you got to do this, you know, whatever. I don't know what's going on, but we got to keep it going. And the fact that people just kind of, you know, took it for granted in a sense, it just really did make me kind of sad. Because it was a way to uplift, you know, these artists. Like, it was just a place where they can come and just be free and just be themselves and just hang out or whatever else. And it was just the genius of Jason and just his vision that he actually had and how everybody just kind of obliged him, and they just came together and they just did what he kind of asked, in a sense. They didn't necessarily know where he was going in the beginning. And then they realized, wait a minute, this guy has something happening here. He has this vision, and we just got to follow through with it or whatever else. And a lot of times, Akia, you know, it was announced. They always said, hey, come to the Funk Jazz Cafe, just buy your tickets and just come. And it's a surprise. It's very impromptu. No one knows, you know, who's going to be there. There's no headliner. Like, you know, you go to these concerts and they have all these people coming or whatever else. It was not the Essence Music Festival. You know, you got 30 concerts through the whole weekend. None of that stuff. It was not a lineup like that. It's just basically you were supporting the actual movement. And then you came in and you're like, oh, my God, here is this person. Oh, my God, here's that person. Fresh new sounds, new looks, new styles, whatever else. All the stuff that's happening in one space, under one roof, and he created an experience. It was not just a show. It was an experience. And, you know, when people walk away, they walk away really, really full and really, really loving, you know, being African-American, being proud that they actually was a part of the beginning of somebody like Janelle Monáe, like Jill Scott, like, you know, Angie Stone, or, you know, just it's many, many, many that crossed the stage. So it was just amazing just to, like, see how out of the loop I was during the time that it was actually going on. But then, you know, it had me craving for more. Like, okay, I need to know what's going on. And here he is. He kicked it back off in Atlanta on, I think, the 13th. I think he had a screening and a show or an event, a Funk Jazz Cafe event, on the 12th, 13th of July, whatever else. So, you know, we basically want him to come in and kind of tell us what that experience was about, kind of reliving the moment and those kind of things. But, yeah, it was really, really great.
Wow. Well, we know, he had a previous engagement or something came up at the last minute. So what we're doing, audience, we're kind of sharing some thoughts and some ideas and some the movement of Funk Jazz Cafe and his movie, Jason's Ore, who is a great innovator to the music and art industry. He's also a filmmaker and more about The Diary of a Decade that should be coming to a city near you soon. So if it comes, please see this because it really tells the heart and soul of not just music but art form in general. And like Nicole said, has created this free-flowing artistic platform that is not just music center, but it is a collaboration of different type of artists, whether you're a tattooist, I've stilt walkers in some of the videos, I've seen massage therapists doing something to music while the show was going on. Visual artists who's painting as the show progresses, acrobatics and all types. I mean, it's a really, like Nicole said, it's not just a music concert, but it's really an experience that takes place. So what we're doing, we just kind of want to share with you from the words of Jason Orr and some past interviews and different things like that, Nicole. He said, someone asked him a while back about, and this is very interesting, that did he believe that soul music has lost its flavor, or did he believe it's changed? And he said, yes. He said, there was time that artists could win Grammys, for best soul album or best soul artist, et cetera. But he felt that we can see this as evidence to eliminate the category commercially. As you see, it worked. So he thought that it worked because it was a commercial way to eliminate those categories. How do you feel soul music has changed through the decades? And what have you seen, Nicole, personally? Can you relate to what Jason said about soul music?
In a sense, I can. I will tell you that I'm not really, really – I was never really, really rooted in, like, soul music myself.
Mm-hmm.
I was – really, you know, interested in and always kind of followed popular music. You know, I was on the cusp of, you know, the MTV, mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. So I listened to, you know, whatever was actually popular a lot of times. And, you know, and I'm not a musician at all, definitely at all, but I really do believe that people should, you know, perfect their craft and keep it going, that they have it in their hearts to actually sing a song, because that's something very, very special. I mean, these people are gifted and they have some insight, and they tap into the universe in ways that we can't. You know, like, I'm a communicator, so that's how I tap into the universe. That's how I,
mm-hmm.
you know, put my purpose on this, you know, on this earth or whatever else. And I really do believe that musicians, that, like, you know, they're operating on a different plane, sometimes
mm-hmm.
a higher plane. So I understand, you know, music itself, when it comes from the heart, when it comes from the soul, from deep within, that's kind of what it is. But definitely, you know, I think, you know, the actual – the movie itself that he, you know, he created, it basically kind of showcased, I guess, the music starting, you know, just from our ancestors, you know, like when they came over here, what music meant and what song meant and what being in one accord with each other meant, you know, back then, and then just kind of how it translated through the years or whatever else. I mean, it was, you know, music has healing powers, and it basically kept us, you know, together for a long, long time, and it really does connect people, and it transcends, you know, race and, you know, all these other things that are happening in the world or whatever else. So definitely I really, because I'm not a musician, and I really, really don't, you know, I'm not like a connoisseur of fine soul music or anything,
mm-hmm.
but I do believe that history kind of helps us know where we're going. And I believe that, you know, musicians actually tap into historical, you know, soul and those kinds of music and religious mm-hmm. music, you know, like the gospel and stuff like that, to actually, you know, kind of keep, you know, that feeling and that
connection to our ancestors and our communities alive, in a sense. So definitely it was really, really meaningful that he pointed that out, in the movie, in the film.
You know, I can relate to that because, in singing my music, I tell people I'm a soul artist, I'm a soul artist, not necessarily genre related, but I feel like I'm a soul artist because I sing from my soul to other people's soul, and lift up their spirit. So, I remember in the actual movie, Jill Scott made a comment very similar. She said soul music is just that to her. Anybody, soul music can go in any type of category. She don't like to put a label on it either. She said that soul music can be rock, it can be folk, it can be gospel, it can be jazz, because the person who's actually doing the music, they're playing from their soul. You know what I'm saying? So she also agrees with me that it's not really but basically I think, it's the soul of music that people need to identify with. But what they tend to do, though, commercially, music has gone so commercial that it doesn't allow you mainstreamly to actually demonstrate music from your soul, if you understand what I'm saying. You know, a person to be really artistic and really do music from their soul, what they think is great and good, and everybody around them and every time everybody hear it, they're like, oh, my God, that song just touched my soul, to the powers that be, commercially, that may not be the case. You know, record sales and what's trendy and what's, like any other popular thing. That's why I really like when Lettuce came out, because I remember when I was in New York, she was independent. She was singing soul music and she was doing her jazz album, and she was performing all over, like globally, at the Montreal Jazz Fest and at the Barbados Jazz Fest, and a jazz fest, you name it. That was her mainstream. But she even identified with the fact that she could not sing her soul. She could not be the artist that she wanted to be, and she depended on being an independent, starting her own label and distributing her music independently, because she felt like she wasn't appreciated. Now, let it be, and then in return, it almost made her give up. And that's when she came out with that song, All Right. She said her mama just told her, girl, it's going to be all right. You are who you are, and they can either accept it or not. And when she did that song, All Right, she said, this life can make you so confused, it's all right, living day by day, I feel so used, and it's all right. I just want to run and hide, but I don't have no time to cry, and it's all right. And that's what that really holds a lot of weight with me personally, because it speaks to my soul. No, it's not necessarily classified as a soul song, but that song talks to me because it's indicative to my life. And so is it commercial now? It was one of her album that did come out, on the national label. But would it be on the Grammys categorized as soul music? Probably not. They probably put it in R&B or something like that. But the song is genius, and it allowed her to express her soul in her come out album nationally and under the label. So I totally agree with that. I totally agree. Now, he also mentioned something about Atlanta. As we know, he started this movement in Atlanta, and he was asked, is it a new Mecca of black music? And he said, yes, it's the 90s, and I know that our the Clark and the whole gang at SRN can agree with that. And, Cole, you stayed in Atlanta at one time as well, so you can also identify in the 90s how it was the Mecca of black music, and that is also documented very well in this movie, The Funk Jazz Cafe, Diary of a Decade, from the days of James Brown, Romeo, S.O.S. Band, to TLC, Arrested Development, Goody Mob, Outkast. There are many who have a problem with genre titles, especially, as it relates to soul music, he said, but the term soul in particular, he said that his take on titles is like traditional categories have been helpful to understand what we are buying commercially. But as we've seen, that categorization has prohibited the advancement of expression based on soul music. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So becoming more astute with the search and discovery of music, it will broaden a person's palette for more music to celebrate, to be celebrated. And I totally agree with him on that level. Now, Nicole, in this film, were you able to really see the emotion and how it affected the people in the audience to be a part of this experience? Did it really go into that aspect of touching the heart and, you know, emotional people?
It did, and honestly, afterwards, it was a kind of like a question and answer or a talk or a discussion or whatever, kind of like a town hall, per se, after you actually, you know, had the experience of watching the film, just kind of watching 10 years of the Funk Jazz Cafe kind of unfold before your very eyes. So, of course, when people were out there and they were supporting it, because there was a lot of people in the room that actually did go to Funk Jazz Cafe when it came to L.A., to D.C., or when it, you know, was in Atlanta, they drive down there, whatever else. So there was a lot of people that were used to it, you know, and they basically, you know, kind of took it for granted in a sense. Oh, yeah, I was there, you know, that kind of thing. But you could just see, like, how they missed it. Like, oh, my God. Like, it was a movement. We were a part of something really, really great. And all of a sudden, it just stopped, and nobody really paid attention to that fact. You know, maybe they felt like, oh, we just kind of graduated from college and we grew up, or we just got more professional jobs and, you know, grew out of it, or we just got these responsibilities with family and, you know, children and stuff like that, and it's just something we just kind of, you know, pushed aside. Like, no, something happened where it could not go on anymore. It was, you know, music, the industry was failing us. You know, when it came to an end, the industry had failed musicians and the artists, and they had kind of, in a sense, dissolved the platform because they started trying to recategorize the music, and instead of it being this wide range of, you know, acid jazz and, you know, soul and this and that or whatever else, there was so many different kinds of category music, or even some musicians that didn't even put themselves in a box. Like, you couldn't put them in a box. Like, they didn't identify with anything that any definition that had already been out there, or any category that had already been out there. So they just said, I'm just singing from the heart. It's heart music. It's soul music. It's my music, whatever else. They couldn't be put in a box. And the industry, the, you know, proper, doesn't work that way. Like, here are a few boxes. We have R&B. We have hip-hop. We have rock, we have this, you know what I mean? And you're going to get one of these, or you don't get your music heard. And a lot of people say, oh, I guess we just won't be heard. And then a lot of them say, oh, I just got to be heard. I mean, I just got to make it. So let me just fit into this box or whatever else. Mm-hmm. And they did, in a sense, kind of give us a little leeway with the category of neo-soul, so people kind of feel like they're still doing, you know, their thing in some kind of jazzy, you know, mesh of or hodgepodge of, like, soul music. But, you know, people just kind of gravitated towards that just because they really did want to reach the masses, in a sense, not because that's all it encompassed, everything that they did in their music and in their artistry or whatever else. So it really was a tough, tough challenge. And like I said, the ones who were just really diehard and they were true to their craft, they just said, no, I'm not following that line. So that was kind of where, you know, people start doing more and more music underground and just decided, you know what, we don't want to be on a label. I don't have to be on the label. I can make my own music. I can make it my own way doing it just like this. Because I will tell you, people were independent artists trying to get signed. You know what I mean? Now independent artists, you know, with technology and everything like that, they're saying, oh, I don't have to be signed. I'm self-signed. I'm self-published. I'm self-this. You know, I can do it myself. I can project myself in the way that I want to. And if somebody likes it and a good deal comes along and they want to stroke a check, let's do it. But otherwise, I'm not here making it. I want to make it. And that's, you know, so basically, you know, we're in the majority, in a sense. The independent, you know, talent or
we
the
don't.
We can snuff out the others, you know. In a sense, because it's so many more. They're outnumbered, and if we keep it going, like we're doing the kids, this platform and many other platforms are rising.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jason Get Back, you know, really, really activated out there with the Funk Jazz Cafe or whatever else, and other people will do certain things, you know, piggyback off of that, help him and join in. It's like it will be a definite force, you know. You have to, because
you know, like I said, people are filtering and they stop what the real music is, and they only give, you know, 25% of what you, of your intent with your music when you kind of get it through these systems or whatever else. And we're not talking about anybody who actually, because in a sense it's like you made it once you kind of go on the label and all that kind of stuff. So we're not talking and bashing anybody else, but definitely we are representing and we are, you know, holding a light and, you know, a candle for those people that are warriors with their own music and, you know, the ones that refuse to do it one way and want to do it their own way. We're holding the torch for those guys.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, you listeners, please, we would like to hear from you. We would like to hear your comments and your concerns with how you think the music industry is going. If you feel like, real music for the soul, or the music that you actually like, is it, you know, is it watered down now? I know I saw a debate on Facebook one day that, you know, someone said they can't count on 10 fingers the African American male artists who they felt could really sell out a Coliseum and who has a multi-platinum album now. They felt like we didn't have a lot of you know, African-American singers who are very good soul or R&B artists who can really sell out. So what's your opinion? What's your opinion about music and the whole movement industry about independent talent? And, you know, we want it from you. So if you're listening, please call in to 347-989-8385. And also, you can leave your comments. You can tweet us at Twitter, at Industry Show, and Industry Tweets if you're there. So now we're going to take a listen to another one of Jason's soul sisters who had got her platform in that same arena of the jazz, or the funk jazz cast, excuse me, and her name is Miss Jill Scott. So stay tuned because you are now in the industry.
Taking my project.
Well, baby, Mommy's job is to help people conquer their vision.
What do you mean?
My consulting firm is called Visionary Consulting Solutions, and we consult businesses to make whatever branding, marketing, and event vision come to life.
Wow. Can you help me plan my birthday party?
I sure can. Are you ready to conquer your vision? Visit www.conqueryourvision.com or call 904-469-7511. That's 904-469-7511 today.
FOCUS. Find opportunities, create unique success. Focus is an empower agency that provides motivational tools needed to aid our youth and young adults in the Metro Atlanta area. Allow Focus to provide your kids with additional help in developing self-awareness, leadership, communication, and empowerment skills. For more information on how to get started today, go to www.focusfruits.com. Focus, life coaching for youth and young adults.
The industry. We are your hosts, Akilah Uwanda and Nicole Lester. We're doing a segment on Mrs. Jason Orr and the Funk Jazz Cafe and the whole Diary of a Decade movement. Jason Orr is he's a musician, he's an innovator, he's a movie producer, he's a promoter, and he's very instrumental to how the music industry has transformed from not just from Atlanta, but globally. And it's very exciting what he's doing with this whole Diary of a Decade. So we're kind of, you know, talking about that today and trying to inspire indie talent and people in the music industry to step up. And you have a platform. You can be who you are and get your music out too. We'd like to talk about a little bit about when did Mr. Jason Orr conceive Funk Jazz Cafe, what's his mission and what inspired him to start this festival in the first place. He said that the mission was first conceived, the Funk Jazz Cafe Arts and Music Festival was created as an festival environment with new and innovative music as the soundtrack. He was inspired by the multi-talent around him in Atlanta, particularly the artists that he was managing at the time, Mr. Vinny Bernard, drummer extraordinaire, Lil Jon, Roberts, visionary artist, Mr. Maurice Evans, and various other creators in the fashion, theater, dance, music industry, etc. around the city. Everything was vibrant and it was bubbling, but needed one place to come together. So that's why he started this whole movement in order to do that, because he wanted to bring all of those talent together. Now, I think we have someone in the chat room. It's Miriam Stevens. Hey, Miriam.
That's just Miriam, our faithful girl. She's always on. Thank you, Miriam.
Thank you so much for stopping by, giving us a shout out. Miss Miriam in the house tonight. Yeah, so that's really why it was started. And he just wanted to create a platform to bring all these wonderful talents together. And he actually mentioned what was one of his most memorable moments in the last 19 years was, he said, out of 46 festivals, he remembered them all very well because they're all like his children and they have been growing up so nicely. So it sounds funny, but it's true. So he really had no special moment in 19 years because he said it was just, you know, every festival is unique and is dear to him, but he did have a particularly odd and funny memory. Nicole, you want to hear his odd and funny memory?
Yes, I do.
Okay, his funny memory was when he was on tour in 1999 and he was going to Detroit and everything went wrong, okay? Like, production truck couldn't get up the hills and the Smoky Mountains because it weighed too much. The bus tour threw a rod, and he said he had a a racist guy who was actually an engineer who hated them for some reason and was sabotaging the sound. So it was a great test of will, patience, magic. But the festival came together in the end, and it was one of the best tours of all. But he did have some challenges, and, you know, that happens to us a lot of times. Because don't we know we have technical difficulties too, don't we?
Yeah, definitely. We got to push through all of that.
Yeah, we have challenges. Oh, yeah, we have challenges in our life and so forth, yada, yada, you know, all the time, but we just got to learn to push through it and just know that, you know, we're more than conquerors, and no matter what it is, it's, things can be worse. So, you know, everything can be worse, but we just got to push on and the job has to be done anyway, so you got to keep doing it. Now, Nicole, he did mention that one of his prized relationships is probably with many people who have come to the Funk Jazz Cafe. So I thought he would, you know, say, oh, it was meeting Jamie Foxx, it was doing this. But he actually said that it was from the people who come to the Funk Jazz Cafe Art and Music Festival over the years and share some real energy with them. He said you'd be surprised of the different types that have participated as artists and patrons over the years, where great friendships and partnerships have developed. But one and that he's humbled was by Chuck D and Professor Griff, a Public Enemy, for the extreme generosity of brotherhood they shared with him. And I'm sure that in that lightness of that, you know, type of industry and art form, I can imagine all the partnerships and relationships and great collaborations and sponsors. And due to that, the sponsorship he's gotten to create his platforms, his festivals, and his movies and different things like that. And I know that the industry, our show, is on the way to all of that one day. As we create these different relationships with our people and sponsors as well.
Like here.
Go.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I know we're on the way to that too, right, aren't we, Nicole?
We are. We're on the way, definitely. And I did want to kind of interject for a second to talk about, you know, like you said, his proudest moment was actually the, you know, I guess the people that he's most impressed by or admired a lot in meeting were the ones who actually showed up. Because that's what I was most amazed by, the fact that people didn't know who was actually going to be performing on the stage. You just come to this venue and you get ready for a concert and you have no idea who's on stage, what kind of concert it's going to be. Do you know how much faith you have to have in a person or in the movement itself? You know what I mean? Just think about it. It's like right now we make a decision. Like, do I want to go to the Sade concert? Yes, I do. You know, because I know it's going to be Sade. And I don't care who are the people that come before her. I just know at the end of the night I'm going to see Sade. So that's a large part of the reason why we spend our, you know, $100 on a ticket or whatever. But just think about how much faith you have to step out on to actually just show up and just wait for this person to present this experience. These individuals that are coming on stage or the groups that are coming on performing, the actual physical, real, live artists that are in there, you know, just all of everything else is just happening in that culture. Like, you know how big that is? That's major. And the fact that he was able to move thousands and thousands of people through all of these events over the years is just, like, really amazing to me. So I am with him on that because that's what I was just thinking. Like, people really showed up, and they had lines around the building, and, you know, they had to be turned away because they reached maximum capacity. I mean, they were, like, busting the seams on these venues.
Wow.
And people were still like, oh, my God, we can't get in. Are you kidding me? Really? You can't get 1,000 more people in? And they're like, no, you got to go home. But they didn't know who was coming on stage. They didn't know who was, you know, being presented that night. And that, I just think that was amazing. And I don't know, but I'm with him on that. It has to be, you know, really a need and a void that needed to be filled, you know, for people or for masses. The masses, because there were so many at the time, then we just needed something else. We needed something more than what the radio was giving us. And I can tell you now, I reached way beyond. I mean, it's still been years that I don't rely 100% on the radio to give me what it is I need, you know, because it's like you can't. You got to find that underground, that fresh, that new, that innovative, that crafty. You know, that's what I'm interested in, because if I'm going to spend my time listening, it has to be something, you know, because I guess when you grow, you kind of want your music to grow with you. And a lot of times you see where this music really hasn't grown. Like, there's no elevation to it. It's just something to dance to. You know, it's just something to move or whatever else, or just to kind of occupy time and space. When you go to a basketball game, they use the music to kind of get you hyped up or whatever else. You know, that kind of stuff. So I know it has its place, but definitely when I want something, you know, to help me feel good or just nostalgic or whatever else, it's just, I'm not turning on the radio for that. I'm looking, you know, in a different place to get that kind of fulfillment, you know?
Mm-hmm. Now, you said, now, Nicole, do you think it's that way with all his music festivals? You just show up and you don't know who's performing?
Yeah, I mean, I just think that's how it's done. That's definitely how it's done. I mean, it really is. They don't say, you know, hey, come see so-and-so. It's always been that way, and that's what's so genius about it. I'm just, like, you know, I was so moved by his story because it's like that was real. And I never did remember, you know, when I was hearing them advertising and people saying they were going and, you know, just hopping, you know, packing up the car and driving up to Atlanta or whatever else. I never heard who was coming, who was going to be a part of that show. And the fact that he reiterates it in the actual movie, I'm just like, yeah, you're right. I don't ever remember there being whatever else, but I do remember people talking about when they came back, because I never knew who Joy Gillum was. You know, years later I found out that she was married to, I think, Dick Gibb from Goody Mob or whatever else, you know, something like that. But I just didn't know who she was at the time. But people would say, oh, yeah, Joy was there, and so-and-so was, they were naming all these people. I really just didn't know like that. And they had just been introduced themselves, but guess what? These people are like household names now. You know, you're talking about, you know, CeeLo, he's all over television, and you see, you know, everybody has to go to some kind of cookout, barbecue, kind of celebration, block party, with Dougie Fresh there leading it with these concerts that's going on during the summer, and just Erykah Badu, everybody loves her. They're going over to the islands to go see her, you know, play and perform there on vacation this summer, you know, stuff like that. So it's just like these are people that we can now not live without, that he was, you know, that were really, really new. And he put them on a stage and say, hey, meet these people. I know they're doing some good things, and I want to bring them to you. I want to share this with you, you know. So I just think it was a really, really, you know, good idea. And I think it was good timing then, you know, it was well before his time, but definitely great timing, and I really am excited about the fact that he is just, you know, reviving this thing and getting it back out there again, because people, there was a void when Funk Jazz Cafe went away, and, you know, definitely it's way more independent artists that are just as, you know, unruly and, you know, untamable, that need that other platform, you know, that need the stage, so definitely I'm excited about that.
Awesome, Ms. Nicole. Well, I think we definitely shared with the listeners information about the Funk Jazz Cafe. If you want to know more about that and the movie Diary of a Decade, go to Funk Jazz Cafe with a K, KAFE.com, to hear more about Mr. Jason Orr and his innovation and the whole movement itself. Next week we have on the show Ms. Tanisha Gaines, Director of Special Events for the City of Jacksonville, to recap on the Jacksonville Jazz Fest and everything that the city of Jacksonville is doing with local indie talent, along with Jacksonville's very own The Groove Band, who is featured at this year's Jacksonville Beach Jazz Fest this year, along with several others. Keep us locked, because you are now in the industry. Ms. Nicole,
lead them out of here.
Oh, you know what? We have a quick Ms. Doreen Finkel. Hello. We see you, girl. So I want you all
Thanks
to have a great week.
Yeah, everybody take care. We'll see you next week.
Yes, be blessed.
We're glad you listened to the interview.